It's time for the Local Hero Report with Phil Corman, the Executive Director for the Community Involved in Sustaining Agriculture, better known as CISA. And Chris Reed is here from Bare Roots Farm in West Chesterfield. You got kind of a pretty good story to tell here, Chris.
Yep. I grew up on a fruit farm outside of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. My dad had bought the farm after living in Baltimore for a while and playing drums in a rock band, wanted to get out of the city and moved up, and I was lucky enough to grow up there.
Does he still play the drums?
Once in a while.
On a side note, I just got a conga drum for my birthday.
Wow.
That's all I do now.
Well, in a couple of years, you'll be a farmer.
Yeah.
What's the main crop that you're selling here at Bare Roots?
We moved up to Western Mass, and our goal was to start a greenhouse to help other people grow more of their own food.
So you're enablers.
Yeah, exactly. We want to enable people's gardens. So we try to grow really nice starts so they can grow food for themselves. So we try to stick to useful plants, things you can eat, flowers that attract pollinators and other beneficial insects.
Have you seen this whole crisis with the bees? Have you seen that firsthand?
Yeah, last year, so where our greenhouse is on an old apple orchard, and during bloom last year, the orchard was silent.
Mm.
And normally when you have a beautiful bloom like that, white everywhere you can see, there's just a buzz. It kind of sounds like a low-grade jet taking off. And there was nothing out. No pollinators were flying. Not many bees, not much else.
Oh. Are you doing anything personally yourself to try to attract them back in?
Well, part of that is planting things around in your garden and everywhere else that inhabit native populations. So growing the pollinators so that the bees can support themselves rather than just trying to keep hives all over the place.
What kind of starts should people be looking at now? I know you're going to help people that are growing their own stuff, and this is the time of year that got to be thinking about that, right?
Most things you got to wait until after last frost to get in the ground. There's a couple of things you can get in early, some of the cool weather crops, kale and things like that, which can stand up to some light frost, but a touch early now. But I've got them started. We're just transitioning between our plug production to growing out into our 4-inch for what people will actually buy once the market season starts.
And we can catch you and other farmers at the farmers markets as the winter markets start going to sleep and the spring, summer, fall markets open up.
That's right. We're personally at the Tuesday Northampton Market, Saturday Northampton Market, and Saturday in Amherst.
So do you know those dates? I think the Tuesday market is opening up the last Tuesday in April.
You've got some starts right here. What do we got here?
We're looking
Let's have Bob guess.
Oh,
okay. You got six green things, Bob. What are they?
What are they? Are they labeled? Could I cheat? I know what that is right there. No, I don't really know what that is.
Yeah, that one's a sunflower.
That's
a
sunflower.
Indeed it is. That particular one's a dwarf sunflower, so we're going to try to have some color in early May.
Is that legal to take a sunflower and make it into a dwarf?
No one stopped me yet, so.
So how tall would that grow?
That one stays under 2 feet. It can be used for food. It's also popular with a lot of insects. Again, has a lot of tiny flowers. So anything with lots of little flowers is good for the bugs.
This little thing over, that's chamomile.
That is.
So what would that look like when it's fully grown?
Not the prettiest plant you've ever seen. It's big. It's got sort of feathery fern leaf leaves that grow these little button flowers. You pick the flowers and you can steep them in some water and there's your tea.
You got a dahlia over here?
That was just for looks.
Just for looks.
Aesthetics are important.
Yeah, I used to be very hardcore about not growing anything that wasn't useful, but I'm softening up. In my
Kale here. Is kale as huge now as it was, say, 5 years ago?
I think it's bigger. Just from a grower's perspective, there's been a dire shortage of seed for kale.
Yeah.
We've had a hard time the last 3 years getting our seeds. If you're not ordered by February 1st, who knows if you're going to get it or not.
A run on kale.
Run on kale.
Yeah.
Sage?
Sage. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Garden sage. So.
And there's a sixth one there that you missed, which was a tomato plant.
It's a heirloom tomato plant called a Japanese black truffle.
So what's the color? Is it purple or?
It is actually a dark purple. A small plum-shaped tomato. A little darker than brick red. Easy to grow. I don't think we've ever had a bad year with that one.
I come to the market and you're there and I'm saying like, I want these kinds of plants. Are you able to like tell me on the spot, this is where I should plant it this month? Sunlight, because you know, I think a lot of people who are excited and haven't done much gardening, they feel a little intimidated about it.
Yep, a lot of effort into our sign, which we also put up on our website, which is barerootsfarm.com. We try to tell people where to plant it, when to plant it, what kind of growing conditions it likes. Our goal is to make gardening easy for everyone.
This is our Local Hero Report. Bob Flaherty here, along with Phil Corman from CISA and Chris Reed from Bare Roots Farm in West Chesterfield. Chris, you mentioned we a lot. Who else is involved?
Let's come clean on this. Right. A little transparency, please.
Sure, sure. It's my partner and I, Anna Mons, and we are it. It's the royal we almost. we've got two small kids, a 4-year-old Caleb and a 9-month-old Tristan. Caleb's a little more useful than Tristan. He's very good at digging in the soil box, filling up pots and everything else. But
now Tristan must kind of serve the purpose of sort of a rooster, right, to get you up in the morning, right?
Exactly. He is the only alarm clock I keep right now.
So he's not out in the greenhouse.
Oh no, we got a playpen out there for him. He's a big fan.
I know you've been at this for 3 years now. Do you develop into a routine? Do you wake up every day at the same time, or does Tristan kind of dictate these terms? But
well, he dictates the morning, but the weather dictates the rest. With the greenhouse, you're completely at the whim of the weather. How much sun you've got. It's an overcast day, you've got a much easier day. If it's bright and sunny, you got to get out, do your watering, check back an hour or two later, check back an hour or two later, check back an hour or two later. It's an ongoing process. You're during the greenhouse season, you're very much tethered. It's hard to get away for long.
Can you tell me about how NASA made it possible for you guys to figure out Western Mass was the place to move to?
Sure. We're looking for a place to live. We're living in southern Pennsylvania, and NASA has these beautiful light maps, and you can see where all the cities are and the grids of roads and networks and everything else connecting civilization. Being farmer types, we wanted to live outside of civilization, but close enough where we could pop down to a museum or see a show. Or we looked at Western Mass, and it was situated right in between all of the cones of light, but in a hole of blackness, which means you actually get to see the stars at night.
Well, the signals of our radio group here, was that very apparent too? Did that attract you in as well?
Just feel it, you know. It's the high point.
Bill Corman, the executive director for CESA, thanks for coming in.
Thank you,
Chris Reed from Beirut.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And remember to buylocalfood.org.